Right. Similar sort of things with you, Bazza. I'll go right from the beginning. Get your sleeping bags, I might be here a while. Right. There's a kid. Mum and Dad took me to church. I'm going to be brutal now. This is me. Don't hate me, right? Took me to church. It was just church on a Sunday. We went there every week. Nothing changed for me. I never listened. I remember falling asleep under the seats. Do you remember that, Dad? I was a kid. I weren't in my 20s or anything, you know. And we went to a Christian school, King's Park, still. I had to learn scriptures because I couldn't go on the trips. So that's the only reason why I learnt them, I'm, you know, being honest. Yeah, I've not wrote anything down. I've just brought my snot rag. You're going to see snot and tears, I'm afraid. So Christian school, loved it, actually. Life never changed, nothing. It was just what we did, you know. And then I went to Freddie's halfway through first year because something happened with church, so, you know, just went a bit wrong, didn't it? So I ended up at a normal school, and then still nothing changed. I'm not going to go into great detail because Katira's here today. But, yeah, I pretty much live like everybody else. I'd go out. I'm not proud of this. Like, from about 16 to about 21, go out, drunk as a skunk, fell asleep at behind, back at library, and that, me and my friend. You ever do it, you're dead. This is why I'm being careful what I say. Yeah, nothing ever changed. Apart, right, Dad, I'm really sorry. Don't get offended. One day I was at home and I had a two-year-old at the time. My other sister rang me and said, Jessica, my dad's here with all his mates. Oh, this was start of, just a bit before, well, start of COVID. And my dad's here with his mates. Can you come and help me dish out brews? I'm like, definitely not. The loonies. Sorry. I'm like, no. And she made me feel really guilty. So I was like, right, I'll come and help dish up brews, but then, you know, I'll leave. I was going for her, really. So I goes in, you've got one guy with his guitar, another guy sat in the corner crying. I thought, what the chuff is this all about? So I goes in the kitchen, goes and makes brews, and I didn't want to go in the front room. And I was like, I can't be ignorant. I've got to go in the front room, and they're all just singing and just pretty much what before, you know, when one of you started singing, it was just like that. You could feel like the atmosphere, but still, you know, I goes in and sits down, not for be ignorant. And I was thinking, get me out of here. I felt real uncomfortable. And then one-liner. What changed my life? One of my dad's loony friends come up to me and said, I'm one of them loonies now anyway, so I'm not bothered anyway. Can't beat them, join them. One of my dad's friends come up to me and said, God's just told me to come and pray for pain. Now, at that time, I was pretty low. You'd think it, because I'm a happy kind of gal. It's different now. I am happy. I know I don't look it, but this is a different tears. And I remember looking at him thinking, how did he know that? And I think that was when I proper started believing. I thought, he couldn't have known that. I didn't come in dragging my legs or, you know, like, you know. I thought, he couldn't have known that. But at that time, he come up to me and he said that my shoulder were hurting. Oh, my body was a mess. And I was down in dumps about it and that. So I thought, right. And I just remember just going, do it. I need it. Do it. So I'm thinking, scripture-wise, call upon the name of the Lord. You know, I don't know. So, yeah, so he prayed for me. And then literally the day after that, from waking up, I just knew I had to go back, and I was drawn back. And like Craig was kicking me out of the door because he was like, Jessica's like smiling and was singing. And no, I was different. I just knew I was different. But I didn't know why, because I'd never read my Bible. I didn't know scripture. I got drip-fed bits, but it never went in. Never at all. They were just words. So then I went, like Craig, because he doesn't believe. I think he's getting there in a weird way. But anyway, that's a different story. I've got loads of these stories. So then I went back, and I thought Craig's going to have an issue with this. He didn't. He was kicking me out the door every day. We did about 3 or 4 days at our parlours, didn't we? And then I had communion. They did communion. And I was crying my eyes out. Nothing. At the time, I didn't get it. I didn't know what was happening with me. I knew I was different, and I didn't know why, because I didn't know my Bible, so I didn't know. And then I think it was probably about 5 days after that, then I just had this hunger and thirst, what it says in the Bible, you know, about what I saw. Like, I just started reading my Bible. I spent about five days. Now, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to look at me and see where my issues lie. Food-wise, right? I'd spent 5 days in my room, didn't even think about food, didn't think about drink. All I wanted to do is just read my Bible. And the words were just jumping. All the New Testament. I've been in the New Testament since he changed me, so for 3 years. It's been nearly 3 years and it covered. So I was just in my bedroom. Now, weird things started happening. A few dodgy things as well. I won't go into because kids are here. I don't want to freak you all out. And I felt his... I cannot deny now what I know. I've come too far. He is real. He is very real. And I think... I don't know. When I give me life... I did give me life as a kid. Oh, yeah, I forgot that bit. I gave me life as a kid. I said that prayer that everyone said, you know. I don't know if I truly meant it. I don't know. Matilda's age, so about 9. I got baptised as well. It didn't mean anything to me. It was just something that I went along with. You know, I'm being honest, brutally honest. What bit was I up to then before I went off? I do this a lot, you'll have to bear with me. Oh, yeah, so 5 days in my room and, you know, mad things starting happening. And I think it was because I think of the submission side of it. I don't know. I'm still trying, scripture, trying to think about. Every time I was reading the Bible, it was like, that's what's happening to me. That it had all my answers there. It's my life right there. And when people used to, like, say, oh, it's not a religion, it's a relationship, I get that now. I get it. He's on my mind all the time. I talk to him in my head all the time. Craig thinks I lost the plot all the time. My friends think I'm weird, but I don't really care anymore. I keep trying to tell him, you know, and like, I want to shake him and say, this isn't, you know, like, some have cut their head and gone, oh, you know, if that's what gets you through, you know, in a patronising way. And I went, listen, pal, doesn't just get me through. It's not something that I believe because it makes me feel good. I'll do it because I know he's, you know, it's very real. I was sat on my bed. This was a few weeks after, like, he changed me. You know, it talks about being this born again and new creation in Christ. Now, I do believe that's what I am now. It had all the answers there. I was like, whoa, blows my mind. It's what's going on with me. So, all the answers are there. It's my life right there. I can be going through something that week or whatever, pick up my Bible, read, and they just jump off the page and they speak to your heart. Unless you experienced it, I'm hoping a lot of you lot have. If not, I'll prove you. Honestly, my friends don't get it. They just think I've lost it. And this stuff that a while ago, it's like he told me, don't, you know, force it down anybody's neck, just tell them what I've done for you. So that's what I do, you know, with my friends. And because I can't deny it, most of my stories, this is the truth, most of my stories, I'm either sat on the toilet or I'm in my bedroom reading my Bible. So this time I was sat on the loo. And, well, before, my dog, anyone who knows me, my animals and my kids, I love my animals. And we had the dog put down. Now, I couldn't come home because I didn't want the kids seeing me so upset, because it makes them upset. So I was sat in my car and I was like, I can't go in yet. I was a mess. So Craig's like, are you coming home? I'm like, yeah. I was sat in my car for about 3 hours. And I thought, right, sort yourself out, Jessica, sort yourself out. So I goes in and they were like, you all right? Like, yeah, I'm fine. I'm just going to loo. That's where I sit and think. And so I goes to the toilet, locks the door, and I was sat there and I had a bit of a mum. And I said, you're supposed to love me and I'm feeling like this. I said, I'm miserable. I'm miserable. And I was really down in dumps because of the dog. All of a sudden, I couldn't even write it. And it's this peace that the Bible talks about, the peace that, you know, surpasses all understanding. All of a sudden, it was just ask me. So I said, right, I'm asking you. I'm miserable. Sort me out. Within a second, it was gone. I was like, okay, that was a bit weird. I thought, I'll just test it. I'll think about the dog again. Poof, gone. I went into the bathroom, like, not bouncing off the walls, but I was like, I was all right. That, it doesn't happen. Right, another thing, right? Even when, this is why he's awesome and I love him, because even when Eileen left him, he never did. And looking back now, I'm a walking medical marvel, me. I don't know who knows, but I had a motorbike accident in 07. And every day I was in hospital for 2 months, got transferred. I was at Hope for a couple of days, got transferred. They were dealing with the fractures. The Withinshaw were dealing with all skin grafts and stuff, so they had to transfer me after a few days. And every day the ward rounds, oh, it's looking all right, but you still have to amputate, you know, we might have to amputate your leg. Looking back now, it was very bizarre. People probably thought I was losing it because I just didn't really care in a weird way. I was like, meh, where's my toast, right, for breakfast? And looking back now, I think any normal person would be freaking out. They would be, I weren't bothered. So, I don't know, deep down, did I know I weren't going to lose it? No, I think it is because he was just like, no, Jessica, I've got this covered, you're all right. Don't listen to doctors, I'm going to let you keep your leg. So then, yeah, when I got, after a bit, I got, they let me go home, and I had to go back to Hope why he just discharged me, well, just to see what's going on. I had another x-ray and whatnot. So as I'm sat in the waiting room, he went, oh, Jessica, you know, so he remembered me. And actually, not long after the accident, I had an asthma attack, so I was in A&E. This guy come through and he went, I've just seen your name on the board. He went, you're the lady who had the bike accident. So I'm like, yes. So he said, you know, how are you in that? And I was like, oh. He said, that was horrific. I've never seen anything. And this is a guy who works in A&E. So anyway, so he'd be like, can I give you a hug? I went, if you want, whatever floats your boat, you're here. And he said, so I showed him my leg and he was like, I can't believe it. So when I went to see the orthopaedic surgeon again, I was sat in the waiting room and I showed him the leg and all the time he was like, oh, have you still got that? And I'm like, yeah, no, I'd go, do you know why I've still got it? Because I'm a child of the king, that's why. But at the time, I weren't really, you know. So then he went out and he said, can I get this other doctor to come and look at your leg? So I'm like, if you want. So he goes out, comes back, and he went, go on, show him your leg. So I'm like, rolling my pants up. And then the guy was looking at it and he went, never seen anything like it. Have you still got your leg? So then he goes and he said, can I take a picture of it? I'm like, if you want. So he took pictures of it anyway, and he just couldn't believe it. And as I'm walking, he just discharged me that night. That day, not night. As I'm walking out, I just turned around, so I see you, and he was just going. watching me just walk normal. I could river dance again after a week coming out of hospital, because I was walking down the street with my crutches going, look, Dad. And he's going, stop it, stupid. It's been a long thingy. How people can deny creation and the human body, how it works. Even when I hit the deck, I kept my eyes shut all the time, and I don't know why, but not to be too graphic, but it was pretty bad. It was pretty messy. And I have got pictures if anyone wants to see. I didn't feel any pain. I wasn't in any pain. I thought it was okay. I went for get up and someone was pushing me back down. Like, and I'm like, what's going on? And I went, no, I'm all right, I'm all right. I went for get up and my leg. So I just went, yeah, there's something wrong with my leg. It's gone a bit numb. They're like, no, it's all right. They lied to me. And I went in Green Algies not long after it as well. And the girl who was behind the thingy, she said, she still has nightmares about my accident. I was consoling her. I was like, are you all right? You know, I'm sorry about that. She was in the car that was behind another car at the petrol station where it all happened. She still has nightmares about it. Now, it just speaks volumes. Well, I don't really care. You know, it's because of him. I know it's all because of him. So he's always been there. Looking back now, I can pinpoint absolutely every single time he's been there. Another story. Pretty awesome. Me and Craig, obviously after my accident, I was on £72. It was incapacity benefit at the time. I didn't tell my family this because I didn't want them to worry. But Craig lost his job. We was at Underwood Terrace, which is just there. He lost his job. I wasn't on much. I had to have another operation to remove the pole and pins. My choice, because I kept getting like shooting pains up my leg. So I said, can you remove it? So I said, yeah. So, but I didn't know. No, it might kill a bit of the last bit of the story. But anyway. So I had this operation, so we didn't have any money coming in, so we was absolutely, we didn't know what to do. I thought, I'm going to have to move back in with my mum and dad, and he's going to have to move back in with his mum, whatever. I went upstairs and I was still looking out of the window, and I prayed, well, spoke to him in my head, and I said, Lord, please, we need something. You know, we can't afford to pay the rent. We can't afford to, you know, live. I love my mum and dad, but I couldn't live back with my mum and dad, I'm afraid. I like my own space. And then I just felt like it was going to be okay in a mad way, like that peace. And it just come over me. And then at the time, I didn't think of God, even though I just prayed. It was bizarre. And I just literally, like, just skipped out of the bedroom, you know. And it's weird, I don't know. So then literally, it was a day after, or the day after that, I can't remember, because I'm going back in, what, in about 08 now. I think my friend were getting married, so I think I was down Astley, and was in the bridal shop, and I get this phone call. And this woman said, hey, is that Miss Lister? I said, yeah. So I come out of the shop then, and she said, this is such a man, I can't remember her name. Can't even remember my own name half the time. I'm from the Department for Work and Pensions, Benefits. I'm like, yeah. So she said, I've been trying to contact your employer because I went back to work a year after the accident and then had to have another operation. So then I was back on sick again then. So I said, yeah. She said, I've been trying to contact your employer and I can't get hold of them. We owe them some money. So I said, right, okay. She said, but because I can't contact them, then it falls to you. I went, okay, tell me more. So I said, right, okay. She said, when you should have gone back on incapacity benefit. I've got a friend who works in benefits. And I phoned her going, Lindsay. She went, I've never known that to happen. Because I'm a child of the king, that's why. So I said, right, okay, so you should have gone back on the incapacity benefit, but they've been paying you sick pay, which you shouldn't have done, so this is why, you know, we owe them that money, but, you know, so I said, right, okay, I said, how much are we talking? £4,000 got transferred in my account, literally within 24 hours, you know, that does not happen. So me and Craig, it was near Christmas time, and that just does not happen. You know, so, and even then, I just said, that must have been God, because I prayed last night, but then it was quickly forgotten, you know, and I just went back to, you know, back to living, and, you know, and he was always there. He's always been there. He never leaves us. He does exactly what it says in his book. You know, he's got me now. He has got me now. And he's, you know, just tell you something quick as well. My nephew, the prodigal son's just returned. He was on drugs. He was anxiety up to the eyeballs. He's come back a new man. And I said, what changed? He said, God got me. And he said he'd sold his soul to the devil and everything, that lad, you know. And he said, stuff that he said has been happening with him. And I can relate as well, you know, so I know he's not lying. And because I'm like, yeah, I've been going through the same things as well. So prayer works. We've all been praying for him, haven't we? Yeah, that's pretty in a nutshell. But there's loads more, but you all want to get back to your Sunday dinners and stuff. So, yeah, that's pretty much... Not all of it, but yeah, it's me done. I don't feel as bad now, actually, I got that out of the way.